Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
7654321.
Hey guys, this is Liz Cambage.
This is Nikki Collin.
What up guys, this is Evan Sarkis.
Hey, this is Imani Migi Stafford.
Hey, this is Jordan Canada.
This is Asia Wilson.
Welcome to the WNBA Nation.
WNBA Nation! Yeah, we got two episodes coming at you today. We have to. We didn't want to turn these into like hour and a half long episodes where we just busted out everything about the first game. We got to talk game two that happened tonight. Kyle Haywood here with my good friend Logan Jones. Logan, you ready to break down another game with me?
Not quite. Let me go ahead and don. Let's see here. All right, now I'm ready.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Rocking the Chicago Sky hat.
Let's go. Let's get it. Sky fans.
Logan, I mentioned
they're going to come after me on Twitter for picking against them, but all I'm saying is we're in the semis, baby.
I mentioned on our other episode that I would be eating a lot of crow, but I believe all four of us are eating some crow after seeing Chicago advance to the semifinals. I think only one of us, was it you that had Chicago actually advancing, or was it Steve? I can't remember.
I definitely
had Chicago advancing out of the first round.
Out of the first round.
I think three of us picked Dallas. So a lot of us didn't even give Chicago the respect to come out of the first round. Here they are in the semis.
Chicago every chance I've gotten because if you've been listening to the show for a long time, first of all, thank you for sticking with us for the last 5 years. Happy birthday to us really recently.
Yes.
5 years, just a couple episodes ago, if you listen to that one. But I famously have jinxed the Sky time and time again every time I've picked them to win a big game, including the Hamby Heave game. So I've tried to stay away from picking them this year in my preseason predictions, in my postseason previews, and we'll see if that trend continues today or if I take a leap of faith.
I always appreciate when Logan is wisely not picking for Chicago because he loves Chicago. Like we don't really all necessarily have like one team that we're like, you know, oh, I'm a diehard Seattle fan, or I'm a diehard Los Angeles fan, or I'm a diehard Phoenix or Chicago. Like, we like the WNBA, but we have like there's certain players and certain teams and certain storylines, honestly, that will catch our attention and whatnot. Logan has always enjoyed the Chicago Sky. I don't know if he's ever like been upset and like really against the Chicago Sky. And so he's really smart in the way that if he doesn't pick Chicago, it's really likely Chicago's going to win. Anyway, it's a good time. Logan, I got this one way off. I came in hot on the Minnesota hype train. I was 100% good to go on this. I believe I said something like if this was a series, I'd give Chicago a 3% chance of advancing, but since it's a single game, I'll make it like 15%. I was not high on Chicago coming into this matchup, and I was very high on Minnesota. Obviously, I was incorrect because Chicago definitely took care of business tonight. It was by far the more dominating performance of the two games that happened tonight. Chicago coming away with a victory 89-76 over the Minnesota Lynx. Just initial thoughts, Logan. I just want to hear from you. What kind of, you know, catches your eye or what, you know, what got you, what do you think about this result? This was not the result that we as hosts necessarily anticipated. So I'm curious what you thought happened here.
Yeah, well, I will tell you, obviously I got the outcome wrong because I picked Minnesota in this game and they lost by 13, but the process was correct because I thought the key to this game for Minnesota was going to be Leisha Clarendon being a facilitator to the offense, and they were absolutely shut down. Zero assists, one steal, 0 points. She's the only player in the starting five that did not get anything struggled on the scoreboard. So, and then just not a lot from the bench. I thought they had a pretty deep bench, but Natalie Achanwa, Crystal Dangerfield, Rachel Banham all came in and contributed about 8 total points between them. Not a whole lot happening there. Crystal Dangerfield, not a good shooting night. So, Clarendon getting shut down really affected everything else that this team wanted to do, which is the inverse of the take that I thought would happen. But the outcome, like if you would have told me that that would be their stat line, I would have been like, yeah, they're going to lose that game then, because that's been a really critical piece to the Minnesota machine all year. Credit to Chicago for continuing the momentum that they built in the first round. They've now survived 2 single elimination rounds and get not necessarily an enjoyable matchup here in round 3, but at least get themselves to a 3-game series or 5-game series, a best of five, where they can, I don't know if, like I said, it's not like a breather. It's not like they get to relax now, but to not be facing the threat of elimination every single night has to be a little bit of a relief for a team that was supposed to be a contender from the beginning of the year. So that being said, the starting five from the Chicago Sky all brought it. The usual suspects all scored in double digits, as well as Diamond Shields with 14 points, 19 minutes off the bench. Good night for her. She was 4 for 5 with 6 points from the foul line as well. It's encouraging to see the bench contributing. That's been really key. We mentioned the bench for both teams in the Phoenix Seattle matchup really did nothing at all. If you have a bench this deep into the playoffs that can help you, that might be your secret sauce to success, because not everybody's got that. So I was really happy with what we saw from the Sky tonight. In all honesty, it didn't feel... at halftime is a 4-point game, so there was still something to be said for Minnesota sticking around. Late in the third quarter, it started to get away from Minnesota. It was about 10 points. They made a little bit of a run, and then from that point on, the whole fourth quarter was basically just Chicago holding them at arm's reach. And that's right. Exactly the type of game you want to play when you're trying to eliminate a really good team. Minnesota's defense, which had been at times this year one of the best in the league, but inconsistent, that reared its ugly head tonight. They gave up 89, in part because Chicago's starting five can all score the ball like really well. They ended up shooting 49% for the game from the floor, including a pretty bad percentage from 3. So all of their stuff in paint was going in from everybody. And that's really tough.
Which is really, you know, especially surprising considering that just prior to the game, Sylvia Fowles was awarded the Defensive Player of the Year. You know, because she's such a lockdown interior defender and handles the ball really well, you know, and is an imposing figure there. Candace Parker came out with 8 points and didn't have to score any more than those 8 points because the rest of the team stepped up. You know, Copper, we've said this is Copper's team, and it 100% is. Vandersloot went off for 19, 5 boards, 5 assists. That's really solid. Also chipped in 3 steals. Sometimes steals go underrated, but the... like a steal can be such a momentum shifting, like part of the game. It's not something that's like a huge part, but if you win the steals category, that's giving you, you know, extra possessions and extra shots at the bucket that the other team doesn't get. Courtney Vandersloot had a fantastic game. Quigley chipped in 11. Stevens with 15 as well. DeShields had a good game. We have not seen Diamond DeShields this season, and even last season was not the Diamond DeShields that we had seen prior. You know, the all-star game, Diamond DeShields. It's good to see her have a solid game here in the playoffs against a team of the caliber like the Minnesota Lynx. And honestly, even a player like Dufall, who had 6 points and, you know, three boards. I think, you know, having Dufall come in and put in some decent minutes there, I think, you know, this is just a really solid all around the board performance from Chicago, and not a great performance from anyone other than Ariel Powers. Like, Ariel Powers came out and had a fantastic game, but the rest of the team just wasn't there.
A lot of people on Twitter called this out, especially in the first half. The Lynx just didn't do a good job of finding fouls and getting her offensive touches early. She still ended with 17 points, but it could have been a lot more. And then I thought McBride had a nice game. She was really that.
She was great.
She brought what we thought she was going to bring to this team. And I'm glad that she was able to do that in the playoffs. She hit 4 3-pointers.
She probably did enough. She probably did enough if other players had been, like, if Clarendon hadn't been limited in minutes, I think McBride could have done enough. Didn't do enough to overcome, you know, a not 100% Clarendon.
This is not the Sky team that lost like 9 in a row, right? This is the Sky team we expected to see where, you know, on any given night, Vandersloot can be the leading scorer and Copper can be the leading rebounder, which was the case tonight. Copper, by the way, 16 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. She is 27 years old. Chicago's got something there. I mean, you've got Vander Quiggs for as long as you want to keep them both around on the payroll. But at some point, that's gonna change, and I think Copper needs to be the future of this team.
I would have said DeShields was the future of this team. She's the building block you got to build around. Mm-hmm. Copper is that building block. Yeah. You know, obviously Candace Parker's, you know, there's going to be some years that she's not going to, you know, I don't know how many years from now she won't be playing. Quigley Vandersloot, we'll see, you know, kind of where their future leads. But if you can build around Kalia Copper, you're going to be fine. You're going to be just fine to do that. So I think that's a great call out here. Overall, obviously, I expected this score to be the other way. I expected Minnesota to win by double digits. I was very bullish on that. I have to eat a lot of crow. Sky fans, just so you know, I love the Sky. I've got a Chicago Sky jersey literally like less than 3 feet from my face right now. Courtney Vandersloot is my daughter's favorite player because, honestly, my daughter kind of looks a little bit like Courtney Vandersloot. I love this team, but Minnesota to me was a team that did not get enough respect all season long. And I thought they were probably going to advance to the final, which kind of brings up something that we alluded to before, Logan. Before we hop into previewing kind of the next round, a team like Minnesota, that's a 3 seed that has played really, really well all season long, comes in and doesn't have an opportunity for a series, you know, basically has one kind of rough outing, you know, they're one injury away. They had a great season. They were 22-10. You know, they finished the season like 6 whole games ahead of a Chicago Sky team that just beat them. Is it fair for a 3 seed in a basketball format, in a professional sports basketball format, to not get a series? Now, I'm not saying this because I'm, you know, like, I'm not bitter Minnesota fan guy. I like both these teams equally. I'm thinking this is a great example of why some people really dislike single elimination games, because I think that in both this case and in the case of Phoenix Seattle, everybody would have loved to see both of these turn into a series, at least a three game series, you know? So I'm curious where you kind of view, so you know, how you view this situation.
I'm in the camp that I would enjoy more playoff basketball. So don't hear what I'm not saying with this next take and think that I'm like against, like if next year, if they came out and they wanted to change the format and say, we're going to go five game series every round, I'm on board. But hear these words, fans of every North American sport. Because every league has this discussion anytime one of their darlings loses in the first round.
Yes.
It's not the league's responsibility to make sure the best teams win against the 6, 7, and 8 seeds of the world. It's your team's responsibility to look like a 3 seed and win the games you have to win in the playoffs. I know that's harsh, but it applies to every sport. This is a discussion in baseball right now, because either the Giants or the Dodgers are going to be in the wild card, even though they're 16 games above the team that they're going to face in single elimination. It's not Major League Baseball's job to fix the playoffs so that teams don't have to prove themselves throughout the playoffs. The reason the playoffs exist is to weed out the pretenders and allow the best teams to move forward. So if you are who you say you are, in this case, the Minnesota Lynx, the number 3
that's
seed.
A great call. Over they the are who we the thought year, they were.
if that's who you are, it's your job to win a single elimination game, not to say, hey, league, you should protect us from this potential pitfall.
So I 100% agree with you on this case. I think that it ultimately is up to that. However, in this one scenario, only two teams in this league are protected. Our 1 and 2 seeds get at least 3 games.
And they're overprotected, by the way. I do believe that. I do
that's
think
where
I
think that's where I think it's not balanced. If we want to go single elimination and just call this March Madness, let's call it March Madness. Like, fine, by me. And then we're going to have like a 7 seed make a run and win a title. I'm cool with that. If we want to make it that crazy, go for it. But the reason why the regular season is so impactful is because everybody's vying for those top 2 seeds. The difference between a number 2 seed and a number 3 seed in the WNBA is miles. It's miles.
Yeah, it's too vast.
A number 2 seed Las Vegas, a Las Vegas versus a Minnesota, even though they're only 2 games separated and look really similar, Las Vegas gets a 5 game series where Minnesota has to buckle up for they have to buckle up for a playoff single elimination against a team that just won a game and is coming in with some momentum. That's tough. Now, again, trust me, listeners, you guys are like, Kyle's really bitter that his pick. we would be having this discussion if I picked the Sky.
I'm with you. I believe that there is too much of an advantage gap between the top 2 teams getting automatically into the semis and needing to lose a series in order to get eliminated, and the 3 and 4 seeds that a lot of times are very similar in talent level to those top 2 being susceptible to, you know, getting sniped by a single elimination, you know, upstart team. But the way, and if they want to change the playoffs next year, I'm down with it. I want more playoff basketball. I love series. I think Phoenix versus Seattle this year would have been a great series. I would have loved to see a Minnesota, like, oh, let's see if they respond in game 2 to the Chicago team. Like, I want to see that. I'm not against it. But I'm also not going to lose sleep this year, the way the playoffs are presently constituted, over a number 3 seed Minnesota team that had an opportunity to settle it on the court and didn't get the job.
And didn't. Agreed. I think the only issue is that Las Vegas is just the discrepancy between a 2 seed and a 3 seed. You know what I mean? I think it has to be somewhat a little bit. I think that 1 and 2 seed maybe is too overpowered. If that's the case, you know, if we're just going to take these top 2 teams and be like, hey, you guys guaranteed semifinals and a series here, like, I think that's too much. If you're going to protect the top two seeds that much, you need to throw a little something down to the 3 and 4 seeds, or at least lessen that advantage that the 1 and 2 seeds have.
Yeah,
maybe you do like a play in, maybe you have, the playoffs set up a little bit differently so that there's play in still from those first couple, but maybe there's not a bye for the 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4 seed. I don't know. I don't know how you'd figure it out, but I just think it's too heavy. If this is the case, then why not just automatically advance Connecticut and Las Vegas to the finals? If we're going to give them that strong of an advantage. Now, that being said, I definitely think Phoenix and Chicago have rosters and have momentum that could take both Connecticut and Las Vegas. I think they're both really good. But I just think that it's too strong of an advantage if you're not going to also extend a little advantage to Minnesota and Seattle.
That's a good point you just mentioned. It's very unsexy, but if you took the four remaining teams in the playoffs and you told us what they would be at the beginning of this season, and we would have no knowledge of, Dallas being a playoff team or the Liberty winning 10 more games or anything like that, or Minnesota. You had Minnesota finishing high. A lot of us had them like middle of the pack.
But if you said Phoenix, Chicago, Connecticut, Las Vegas are your top four teams, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, all of us would be like, that makes sense. Like we could see that coming from a mile away. So like, as much as it feels like, oh, Minnesota deserves to be there, like Chicago didn't really deserve to be a sixth seed, did they? They lost a bunch of games at the beginning of the season when they were a broken team. They righted the ship. They got themselves in the playoffs just like we knew they were going to all along. And honestly, it was kind of like Minnesota lost to a fellow three seed because that's how talented the Chicago Sky team was. Their record just blew because they totally sucked the first half of the season.
Right. That's 100% correct. Yeah, no, that's 100% correct. Good discussion. I like this discussion. And by the way, I enjoy playing some devil's advocate here and there.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I'm really stoked to see Phoenix and Chicago in these matchups. I think Minnesota and Seattle are fun teams. I obviously was really high on Minnesota this season. That being said, I think that Phoenix in particular I'm probably as high on Phoenix as just about anybody else as well. So let's go ahead and take a look at this upcoming series, Logan, Chicago and Connecticut. Now,
oh yeah.
Talk about a battle that's about to go down. Connecticut looks sickeningly good. Like they look so dominant. They look 2020 Seattle Storm dominant. Like they look that good. Like nobody's even like staying on the court with them. However, we know what Chicago can do. We know the talent's there. And for years, we've been saying Chicago's one piece away. They're one piece away from making a run at the title. They're one piece away. They've got that piece. And in fact, grew a second piece with Kalia Copper. Like they've got two pieces now added to this team that was a piece away two seasons ago. This Chicago Sky team is the real deal, and Connecticut might have a little bit of a tougher time than initially. If you'd have told us, hey, the six seed's going to play the number one seed, and the number one seed hasn't lost since like pre-Olympics, you're going to be like, ah, number one seed's going to smoke number six seed. That probably isn't the case here with Chicago. So, Logan, just looking ahead at personnel, looking ahead at momentum, how do you, what's catching your attention in this series between Connecticut and Chicago moving forward?
My favorite part of this series is it involves a pair of teams who both believe correctly that this has to be their year. And that's going to make for a very fun back and forth between these two teams. You all know, we've talked about the Sky extensively on this episode. You know their history. They've had teams that should have been fun and awesome and deep playoff runs that got cut short for the last three seasons in a row. The Connecticut Sun, meanwhile, since Kurt Miller took over, they've been above a 500 team almost every year, the bubble season being the exception. And the bubble season is the one where they still got to the semis and then lost to Vegas in five, right? The year before that, they lost to the Mystics in the WNBA Finals in five. And the 2 years before that, they were eliminated in the single round elimination, second round by Phoenix, both times. So since 2017, they've been trying to make their deep run. They've been almost there. I mean, they fell to the Deladon, like Emma Miesman Mystics in the finals in five games in a great series. And then last year's Vegas team bumped it. Remember, they started really, really poorly. They were last year's Sky a little bit, where they started like 1-5 in the bubble or something like that, and then made the playoffs, pushed Vegas to five games, and then didn't get it done. They, I think, believe, especially with how well they've played since the Commissioner's Cup loss, that it's their time or never this year. And that's exactly what's going on with Candace Parker in the Sky locker room. And so you're going to get an intense atmosphere, because I think both teams, you know, the prospect of seeing this season slip away without a championship, there's more desperation there than with your average, you know, well-built, well-run roster. And that really excites me, because it's going to make for some good basketball. I am scared of the Sun. They frighten me.
I'm terrified of the Sun.
I think Jonquil Jones,
in a good way,
has every right to claim this year's MVP award, despite missing five games early. They've gotten some pieces back. They look like the most well-oiled machine in the game right now. I think they're the team to beat. But Chicago came into this year as a supposed contender. They fought through some single elimination games. It seems like they found their footing, and they haven't even played their best basketball yet. I still think there's a lot of room in their ceiling to play better than they have. So I don't know what that means. That was just me talking a lot about how much these two teams want it, and not a lot about what I think is going to happen. So
I love that, because I think what's understated is that, you know, Candace Parker coming home, there's a lot of energy there. There's a lot of, you know, her wanting to represent and bring a title to Chicago. I think that that's a huge piece there. Obviously, Chicago, before Candace coming, were hungry and wanting to do well in the playoffs. Connecticut, just as you said, is also like really, really starving for a title. Both of these teams really, really want hardware. I would love to see this as a finals matchup between these two teams. I think it would be a lot of fun. I wonder how much emotion and whatnot and motivation can play into a full five game series. I would not be surprised to see Chicago come in and maybe take game one, but Connecticut right now to me looks like the best team in basketball. They give me a lot of 2020 Seattle vibes, a lot of 2018 Seattle vibes as well, where they just look like kind of the best team. Like it was kind of obvious, like, yeah, that they're probably winning it because they're the best team. That's how it feels. So I think if I'm going to go ahead and make a prediction here, Logan, I think I got to take Connecticut. I'm going to take Connecticut in four. Prior to what I saw from Chicago, I would have taken Connecticut in three. Chicago's playing with some gusto right now, and they want to take somebody out. I could easily see this turn into a series where Chicago comes in and takes the first game, and then just because of their momentum, and then Connecticut, you know, gets back on their feet, comes around and wins by double digits three games in a row to advance to the finals. Like, I could easily see that being the case, but I'm going to go ahead and say Connecticut in four. Logan, I want to hear your prediction for this series.
I think this is going to be the best three-game series ever.
Okay. All right. So like, you called a sweep.
I don't think it's going to be like Connecticut goes and just like blows them out three straight times by any means. I think they're just going to find a way three straight times. Like you said, I think the only way that they drop one is actually if they lose game one because they've been sitting for a week and Chicago's a little fresher and they've played real game minutes more recently and maybe they're just a little bit warmer. But I don't know. I could also see things go really wrong. I think the odds are low, but you know, maybe they peaked at the wrong time, having such a dominant back half of the season and then having to sit and watch last week. I don't think that's going to happen. That's the one time where I think the cliche of being hungry really matters, is if they had won the championship last year and were kind of resting on their laurels for the past week and a half, maybe they get caught off.
That's another story. Yeah.
But this is a team. I already reiterated the Wikipedia article a second ago, so I'm not going to do it again, but you need to acknowledge how close this Sun team has been to a title the last 2 years, because they're not thought of that way. It's easy. We just automatically think of like the Deladon MVP year and the Storm kicked everybody's butts year. And we just forget.
Connecticut's been good for several seasons.
Their window has been open for since like Kurt Miller took over in 2015, I think, and that year wasn't so great. And then the year after, it's go time.
I'd say since like 2018?
Yeah.
At least.
So 2017, 2018, like basically the whole Kurt Miller era has been like, let's go get one. And they've been so close. And I feel like they know this is, at any given matchup, on any given night, we can have the best player on the floor in Jonquil Jones, the way that she has looked this season. And that can make the difference.
I love it.
So I'm going to take the Connecticut Sun in three, wearing my Chicago Sky hat on Mike. and then this will work out for me either way, because I truly believe that outcome is what I can picture happening. But I've also been so wrong on every pick so far in the playoffs that if I reverse jinx the Sky into the finals, I'm thrilled, because honestly,
I was gonna say, you're not upset about that.
Yeah, the potential matchups in the finals, we don't have a bad one. We have a potential Vegas Sun rematch of the semis last year, but in the finals, which would be amazing. We have potential Sun versus Phoenix, which would be great because you have potential for DT to get another one, Griner to prove something. Connecticut just looking scary. And then you have a potential Chicago-Vegas matchup, which is kind of fun because I still think those two teams kind of dislike each other. And that could be a good time for everyone. And then I don't see this one happening, but if Phoenix and Chicago get through, you get a Candace versus D finals. And that just writes itself. So there's no bad outcome here. But I'm with Steve, man. Unless his opinion's changed, and I doubt it has, it's hard to pick against the Sun on
very hard to pick against them this year. 100% agree. Well, everybody, that's all we've got for you tonight. Again, if you are listening to the show for the first time, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can go ahead and find. Just hit the little plus.
It's hiding. Even if you know where it is, it's still kind of secret.
It's kind of hard to find. Hit that plus. Make sure it's checked. We love all of the 5-star reviews that have come through. I think we've got a couple coming in soon. I've seen our numbers go up, but every once in a while it takes like an extra day or two for the actual written review to show up and populate. But we've seen several new 5-star ratings come through on the episode. So if you got 10 seconds right now, click 5 stars. That boosts our podcast up the ranks and helps more people come find our show and other WNBA shows and become more familiar with the best league that the world has to offer. We absolutely love the WNBA. Check us out on Twitter at WNBA Nation Pod. It's the best way to get a hold of us. Make sure you're checking us out on Twitch, twitch.tv/WNBA Nation. Come give us a follow and you'll get notified anytime that we go live. We're going to be doing some watch parties. We're going to be doing some live tweeting. We're going to be doing some recording, some post-game reactions for the semis and finals. Don't miss a bit of it. Come hang out with us. and get ready for more episodes to come entertain your ears as we move forward. But Logan, any last words for our listeners before we sign off?
Just be ready for round three. It's going to be, Tuesday the 28th. I'm going to have the times and channels for you momentarily here. We're going to get Mercury yes. Aces. Game one will start on the 28th on ESPN2. I've got 8 p.m. Mountain Time, which doesn't help you very much. What is that?
10 p.m. Eastern.
10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. That's probably where you're hanging out. And then that's actually the later game. The earlier game is then what is that?
Chicago, Connecticut is at 8 p.m. Eastern 8 p.m. time. Eastern, Tuesday night
okay.
on ESPN2. Yep.
The Dose.
Okay. The Dose. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out. Appreciate it. Thanks to our Twitch family for hanging out and letting us know how you're feeling. We've seen some shout outs over there, you know, some hashtag SkyTown, some Aerial Powers fan club, some Mercury X Factor members coming in into the chat. Just a lot of fun over here on Twitch. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. For WNBA Nation, I'm Kyle Haywood.
I'm Logan Jones.
And we got you next time.